Yeah, the language of the Hebrew of Gad the seer is really interesting because it's an older type of Hebrew. And it's interesting just to see how it describes things. For instance, it talks about the New Jerusalem, one of David's sermons, but it doesn't say New Jerusalem per se. It's the future Jerusalem, which is now concealed. So he would say the concealed Jerusalem. But you know what we're talking about. So there's a lot of the exact same information is given, but it's descriptive in a different way. And it's just got that air of authenticity to it. Well, the first and second chapter has been floating around out there in a lot of places because there's several scholars that are trying to get people to pay attention to it. And when you just read the first chapter and part of the second chapter, it's really confusing. You need the rest of it to figure out what the symbols mean and everything. And so about a month and a half ago, no, about 3 months ago, I was given the Hebrew text, and I was surprised that the whole thing, was there. And so I put everything aside and wanted to get this translated and figure out the prophecies, put the commentary with it, and get the book out. So it's a little over a 3 month period. Yeah, from my website's BibleFacts.org, and there's a bookstore there, but there are actually links to Amazon. So that way I don't have to stop and sell and package and ship and everything. They take care of all that for me. So it's really nice that way. But I've got 25, I believe, or so books and two DVDs, and I'm working on some more. So just to try to get some of this stuff out. A lot of stuff on prophecy, a lot of stuff on translations of scrolls. On the prophecy side, it's interesting because people usually look at Israel coming back as a nation as a fulfillment of prophecy. And a lot of people think, okay, well, there's one, recently. And they don't realize there's actually been over 50 biblical prophecies fulfilled in the last 70 years. And when you see that kind of thing, it's just amazing. That can't be a coincidence. So you see
Absolutely
the
not.
Bible being very specific. Well, there could always be terrorist attacks and things like that, but we know the world's not going to end for at least 1,007 years. Basically, if you are a believer in Messiah, by the time the kingdom comes, we will have our glorified bodies. We'll be back on earth, much like what Christ was after his resurrection. A lot of people that follow the beast, take the mark, will be destroyed. Some people will not be Christians, not be believers after the rapture, and during the tribulation period, rather, people will get saved. And those people will make it, some of them at least, will make it through into the kingdom. And so you'll have mortals and immortals both living together in the millennial reign. Mortals, of course, will be having children, but the lifespans will be put back the way they used to be. And we can see pre-flood world people living close to 1,000 years, 700 to 900 years. And then right after the flood, the average lifespan was 400 for a few generations, and it got cut in half again, 200, and now we're around 100. So a lot of people speculate that probably the canopy will be put back, that the atmosphere will be fixed, lifespans will go back close to that, to what they used to be. And it's just going to be an awesome time, I think. And of course, then at the end of the millennial reign, we're going to have the Battle of Gog and Magog. So Satan's always got his hand in there somewhere. I've never been a scientist per se, so I couldn't tell you exactly how it works. I know there are canopies in some of the planets in our solar system still, so it's definitely a possibility. But I've always been on the history side, and Josephus, Jasher, and there's a few other documents that actually talk about a canopy. So I would consider it a historical fact rather than a scientific one. Like I say, I'm not too good on the scientific part, but I like to do the historical. So people will come and ask me what I think about Nephilim, for instance. It's like, well, I don't really have opinion scientifically, but I can show you a lot of scrolls that talk about them, about their civil wars, the things that they did, how they did some of their experiments. So some of those things are written down. And so you can bring all those scrolls together, and maybe it's true and maybe it's not. People argue that, but those records exist. And so that's some of the things that I like to do, is just bring out some of these. And your idea of the marriage, I think, is exactly right. Is when we look at the Bible, we have forbidden sexual relationships with brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles, and it goes out so far. And if you look at just the laws here in the United States, it goes out even further. So what was okay back then is somewhat messed up now. So you can see the genes weakening over time. So if the Lord was to tarry another 500 or 1,000 years, you probably wouldn't be able to have children with like your sixth, seventh, or eighth cousins. I mean, it would just keep getting worse and worse. So it makes perfect sense. I'm planning on it. Yeah, the last one I did was I'm planning on doing a 4 or 5 series on prophecy, and I've got the first two done. The outline of the prophecy and then the church age. That mainly hinges on like Daniel 11, which gives us a clear pattern from 536 BC up to 1948 AD in prophecy. And the whole idea that there are certain dates that are set. I mean, the scripture gives us 32 AD is the date of the Messiah's death, predictively. And it gives us a prophecy that says Israel's second return should be in 1948, and the taking back of the Temple Mount should be in 1967 on our calendar. And those came to pass to the day, like all the other prophecies, just like the Exodus and the others. And then building on the few dates that we can set that are actually all in history now, going on with all the other prophecies. Israel was supposed to come back on a certain date to the land that they were supposed to come back. They were supposed to name their country Israel instead of Judah, be reborn under a guy named after King David, David Ben Gurion, supposed to bring back the Hebrew language, you know, and it just keeps going on and on, all these prophecies. And so it's kind of important to see the Bible prophecies all the way through history up until, yeah, my dad was alive at that time. And so you get the idea that, yeah, this is really real. It's not just Sunday school real. And just to get people to understand this stuff is controlled, God's in control, and he's said what he said. And the whole reason we have prophecy is so that you know God's in control. And the Bible's the only book that actually is accurate that does that. And that same book tells us you're going to hell because of the situation you're born into. But there is a way out of it, and all you have to do is trust Messiah. And that may seem too simple, but this is the same book that's telling you what's going to happen in the next few days. So it's a very, very important witnessing tool that we should use. If you start thinking everything is symbolic of something else, that's how we get into the replacement theology and all the other stuff, which is prophesied that it's an error, and we see that all over. Even Gad gives us information on that. And so you need to take everything as being literal. People laugh at you, and it's like we understand that a seven-headed red dragon in the book of Revelation is not literal. But you have to understand this is a vision or a dream. So John was literally in the spirit on the Lord's day on the island of Patmos, and he had a dream or a vision. And this is literally what the dream was. And so it is all literal in a sense, but when there's a parable or a dream or a vision, that would be symbolic, and you have to understand that outside of dreams and visions, everything is exactly perfectly literal. Well, it's pretty interesting with this. I've done books on prophecy, showing what the church fathers taught, which basically is the same thing that we always do. And last summer, I put together the End Times by the Church Fathers, and just went a little bit further. What did they teach about the 10 nations, the end times, the Antichrist? And there was a few extra prophecies in it that couldn't pinpoint exactly where they came from. And so then the Lord began to drop some of these scrolls in my lap this year, which is really interesting. And Gad has several things in it that identifies the Islamic nations and another power, which Revelation would call the Harlot Church, and begins to identify where some of these are and how they work together and how they come together. It's just an amazing set of prophecies. I'm looking at another scroll at the moment, trying to get it done. And it's pretty interesting. It talks about towards the end times, there's going to be a group of nations that are called the Dragon Nations of Arabia. And it's pretty interesting because if you think about it, the Muslim nations that are Arab are focused on Arabia because that's where Mecca Medina is. And they have this kind of replacement theology, and they hate Jews and they try to destroy Jews. And at one point, they actually gather together, go to Syria and try to destroy it. And they are aided by two non-dragon nations, but non-Arabic ones, which are Persia, which is Iran, and Turkey. And it's interesting the way it talks about. So you've got these Arab Muslim nations and these non-Arab Muslim nations, and they come together to do same things in the end times. And it's just interesting to see, and there's a lot of prophecies we could talk about as far as Islam goes, but the pattern that you would, if you just study the scripture and think about it and study it for a long time, you'll probably figure out most of the answers. And it's just interesting to see some of these scrolls just come right out and tell you this is what it is. So it's pretty amazing. So I'm working on some of that stuff and just trying to make people aware of Gad the Seer, the theology, the prophecy. We didn't even get into the first two chapters, which have some amazing prophecies in them. But I would encourage people to get it, look at it, see what kind of things that they can think of. And anybody out there that happens to know of or can get a hold of some of these other scrolls, like the Book of Nathan the Prophet, you know, some of these things, we would love to get a hold of those, translate those, get them out to the public too. Well, the prophecy says that they're basically going to be these two religious powers that cannot be destroyed by man. It has to be destroyed. They're evil. They try to replace Israel. It has to be destroyed when the Messiah comes to set up the kingdom. And it's an interesting set of prophecies because he sees this Messiah as a lamb coming and doing something and somehow creating a group called the Redeemed. And these people were sinners, but now somehow are not, you know, in the prophecies. It's pretty interesting. But it talks about Old Edom and New Edom, and it gives you a hint of who these people are and how they come against the Israel in the last times. And it's pretty interesting. And part of it is Islamic. Wow. And part of it is other things, but it actually identifies the group that, well, in Ezekiel it talks about something is a hook in the jaw that pulls Russia down to invade. And in Ezekiel 38, I think it's about verse 17, it says, talking about Russia, aren't you the one that my prophets of old talked about? And I used to read that and think, not really, because this is the first time anybody's ever mentioned Russia, you know, or Gog Magog. Yes. But Gad does, actually, and he identifies that these are the two religious powers that come together that actually cause Russia to come down and to attack Israel. So in Ezekiel 38 and 39, we see who is attacking Israel and what the outcome is. And in Gad, we see the people behind it that are pulling the strings. And I've never been one for conspiracy theories at all, but when the church fathers mention things and then we find a scroll like this saying the exact same thing, it's really interesting.